Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the case might be, wherever you might be listening. I'm Doug Hagman. Welcome to the Hagman Report. Today is Tuesday, November 29, 2022. Have a lot to get into. Let's start right away. Some unfinished business. That's right, unfinished business. Nina Jankowicz, you know, Scary Poppins, the Ministry of Disinformation. That Nina Jankowicz. Well, you know, look, folks, here's what you need to do. You need to follow up on things. Never let something die, go by, and just, you know, forget about it. Okay. That's what this show is going to be all about, by the way. Nina Jankowicz, she didn't get the job as the Scary Poppins Minister of Defense position. Supposedly, they didn't have the... they didn't create the department, but they're still pumping out disinformation nonetheless. But lo and behold, Nina Jankowicz registered as a foreign agent. You know, here's why I put this up here, okay? By the way, no one pay attention to her home address on there. Oh, we can't air some of the stuff. Anyway, yeah, foreign agent. She registered as a foreign agent. Looks like infiltration is almost complete, comrade. Although this is a UK thing. Yeah, okay. But just understand that we have foreign agents in our midst. I wanted to show that. I'm following Nina Jankowicz. I'm actually following the Department of Homeland Security, watching what they're doing, and also the people involved at the periphery. She is one, of course. I want to set the tone of today's program. You've seen this before. I want to show this again. I want to ingrain this. 6 million, at real 6 million on, I believe it's on Twitter or wherever I found this. I don't know. Look, if I look hard and put away wet, it's because... Yeah, I have been, okay? So I guess you're just going to have to deal with it, all right? But here is the message to be conveyed by this platform to the elite of this world, or the people. Now, when I say elite, they think of them as elite. They are faggotry and degenerates, all right? Anyway, this is authored by at real 6 million, 6 million. Congratulations. You're welcome to come on the show anytime. Send me an email, doug@hagmanreport.com, because I feel the same way. Here is that. We are the ones you couldn't teach to hate their ancestors. We are the ones you couldn't teach to hate themselves. We are the ones you couldn't teach to work against the interests of their children. We are the ones you couldn't teach to celebrate faggotry and degeneracy. And we are the ones that are going to teach you a lesson. The emphasis on that last sentence, it's coming. And it's coming. Speaking of faggotry and degeneracy, and if you don't like the words, there's nothing I can do except show you this. I must have gotten, you know what? I've lost count at emails and text messages and, man. All right. Let me tee this up here. Okay. Let me tee this up. You do recall, I suspect, folks, the Department of Energy, this controversial employment of a dude by the name of Sam Brinton. That's why I have written notes, because I can't really see this. Sam Brinton, one of the first openly gender fluid individuals in federal government leadership. I got so many emails and texts about this. Was charged with felony theft last month after allegedly stealing a woman's luggage at the Minneapolis St. Paul airport. Now, if you scroll down a little bit or up a little bit, whatever. Okay, folks, that's a dude. That's a guy. Okay, that is a male. He's got a dangling participle.
Dude looks like a lady.
Yeah. When did that song come out? Oh, man.
80s, I'd assume.
Late 70s, early 80s. I don't know. But yeah, something like that, probably. But of course, this is an MIT grad. But he is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Office of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposal in the U.S. Department of Energy. Now, okay. Maybe not the most important job in the world, but certainly important. You don't want to be losing, like, spent fuel rods. Yes, I intentionally said that statement. No pun intended. But you don't want, I mean, you want to have someone that is capable instead of some diversity hire. Well, wouldn't you know it, this dude, this man picks up not his luggage, and it's unclear to me. I've not read the criminal complaint, which I like to read the criminal complaint. Okay, do that again with the volume up. Here we go. That's all we can play. That's right. Otherwise, we get sued into oblivion, and I don't want to do that. All right. Here's the story behind this, okay? So in September, now this goes back to September. This has got a number of different angles to the story. So in September, he's at the Minneapolis St. Paul airport. Look, I don't know if he was traveling or if he just went there to get new luggage, you know, I don't know, but picks up. What's this? Wait a minute. Sounds familiar. Oh, okay. Hang on. Yep. Compliments of Eric the Tech. Hey, and by the way, don't forget to pray for Eric the Tech's father that his surgery is successful on, and it will be, but prayers help. Start, if you don't mind, start at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday morning. And, I'm not going to give out any more information. It's not life threatening, but it's, any surgery is life threatening in my view, but it's, well, please pray for him, okay? For that he makes it through surgery without any complications and has a speedy and wonderful recovery. He's gonna be down for quite some time. So, that's Eric the Tech, his father. Again, I'm not gonna give out any names because we get threats here, and you know how that goes, right? So I don't want to do that. All right. But back to Sam Brinton, this degenerate. He was hired as a career employee in the senior executive service. Now, you'll recall one of the facets here is President Trump tried to do away with the senior executive service, but that didn't make it because he was tossed before. Once President Trump understood the SES structure, he attempted to just do away with that and, of course, was disallowed from doing so. So this is an SES/diversity hire. So that's one angle of this. So he's an openly gender fluid individual, meaning that he's stupid. He's crazy. He's got mental issues. In my personal opinion, I have to say that again. Otherwise my lawyers will, you know, they get all, they'll call me up and say, stop it. You gotta couch this with weasel words. So, all right. So he goes into the airport, grabs a piece of luggage. This hurts my head. Okay. This was on September 16th. Law enforcement at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport were alerted to a missing suitcase in the baggage claim area on September 16th. Adult female victim said she flew into MSP on a Delta flight from New Orleans, and went to retrieve her checked bag at Carousel 7. And so they checked the surveillance tape and found this dude dressed like a lady taking her bag. So, and also he removed a luggage tag from the bag, placed it into a handbag he was carrying that must reference the luggage tag, and then left the area at a quick pace. So now here's what makes my head hurt. This bag is like worth $2,365. And I'm thinking, man, tell you what, if I bought luggage for that amount of money, it better have like four wheels and an engine. Okay. Anyway. So police questioned this dude about the missing bag on October 9th. And asked him directly if he took anything that didn't belong to him. And he says, well, gee, not that I know of. Okay. He later admitted taking the bag, but the clothes inside were his. I don't know why that strikes me as funny. If I had taken the wrong bag, I'd be happy to return it. But I don't have any clothes for another individual. That was my clothes when I opened the bag. It's funny how that happens. All right. So, look, folks. The reason I bring this up, okay, it doesn't, it has nothing to do with, like, you know, World War III or, well, in a sense it does. Or anything, or, you know, or crashing of everything. This shows the level of debauchery that the people in power have, are at. I mean, you cannot get any more sick, twisted, it's just, you know what I mean, right? You can feel my frustration. This guy works for an important department in the federal government. I'm going to tell you something, okay? When I subcontracted for the Department of Justice and the FBI, okay, man, they knew more about me than anything else. And if there was anything of question, like what something I did in high school that they weren't, for example, they weren't happy with, they would ask me. Okay. Believe me. What kind of people do we have running things now? We know the answer to that question. That's why we are the laughingstock of the world. All right. Again, this represents a much deeper illness, sickness, spiritual depravity, spiritual bankruptcy of this country than anything else. Sure, it's funny. Sure, when I say funny, it's hilarious that this dude takes a $2,300 bag, denies it, thinks he can get away with it, and says, "Oh yeah, but the clothes are mine." I mean, you get it. So enough of that. All right. Next thing I want to mention is, look, folks, Biden signed an executive order on digital banking. Folks, pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. This is page 2 in the show notes. Go to HagmanReport.com. Bookmark HagmanReport.com. Watch the show from HagmanReport.com if you'd like, or at least look at the show notes at HagmanReport.com. But please subscribe to our channel on Brighteon and subscribe to our channel on Rumble. Comment freely on both. In fact, subscribe to us both. And please do me a favor. Spread this show if you think it's worthy of spreading. If not, well, hey, then don't. Okay. But the Fed, page 2, the Fed launches 12-week CBDC pilot program with major banks. This is a rollout per Biden's executive order of digital central bank digital currency. This is the start of your complete and utter lack of privacy. You know that we must, that the dollar is worthless, that we are trillions in debt, that it'll never be repaid. So they've got to change systems, and they're going to do it through the, and they've got to exert more control on us as a public. So they're going to go through the digital currency process. Now, not everyone is going to obviously follow this. As Aaron Brickman said before, can you imagine cartels doing this and sex traffickers, drug dealers, and so on? No, that's not going to happen. But the fact of the matter is it's going to be an inconvenience. Just keep your eye on that. That's coming. All right. Now, I want to move to, speaking of scumbaggery, I want to move to Fauci. You know, folks, and perhaps you don't know, that Missouri and Louisiana attorneys general, they filed a lawsuit against Fauci, NIH, NIAID, and they had the opportunity to take his deposition last week with respect to his collusion with big tech to censor anyone who dissented against his opinions or the COVID issue or the quote vaccine end quote issue. This is on page 4 in the show notes. Missouri, and this is from the Federalist. This is something I think that it's important for people to really watch. Keep your eye on this, because there's going to be more coming through about this. But to give you an idea of the findings, and I'll just reference again, page 4, Fauci, the chief medical advisor to Joe Biden, testified under oath last week over his alleged role in colluding with big tech companies to squash COVID-related posts the administration labeled as misinformation. Now, you know that Musk is rolling out now, says he will roll out the down and dirty stuff about the, the people who were censored and the reasons and such, the dirty backstory. Okay, that's supposed to be coming out. All right, we'll see what happens. The November 23rd deposition, that was like 7 hours long. The transcript, I'm waiting for a release to the public of that transcript. I have not seen that. I don't believe it's been released yet. But he pretty much denied everything. Okay, that's kind of the short and sweet part of this. Well, kind of sort of denied everything. He, in February 20th, he also gave a deposition. He mailed, I'm sorry. The deposition was November 23rd. In February of 2020, and this was a result of the deposition, he emailed a friend. This according to the finding from the depo, advising her that masks were ineffective. He confirmed this again on March 31st. And on April 3rd, he was adamant masks should be worn. even though he couldn't cite one single study to prove it. Mandates followed, lives ruined. COVID tyranny is born. That's a reference to a tweet by a gentleman by the name of Eric Schmidt. So, this is a guy who single-handedly wrecked the U.S. economy based on, quote, the science, only to discover this from his deposition, that he couldn't recall practically anything dealing with his COVID response. Isn't that convenient? I don't remember. All right. Why don't you go to page 3 in the show notes. Citizens Free Press put together a compilation of Fauci videos. Do we have animals in here? Or is that, is Lady of the Studio Dog in here? That's all right. Is that Lady? Oh, Lady, go, come on in the studio, Lady. All right. You can tell I love animals and specifically dogs, but it, nonetheless, thank you, Eric the Tech, for opening the door to allow her in. She likes to be in the studio with me when we do the program. All right. Citizens Free Press put together this really nice mashup of videos, and I would urge everyone to go to HagmanReport.com, click on this particular page, and watch these videos. Now, let's just play the first video. Play video number one first. What is that? You can start where it starts there, I suppose, and just let that run out.
Where are you on this now? I mean, everybody's always curious. Yeah, where is Fauci on the lab leak theory?
I have a completely open mind about that, despite people saying that I don't. I have a totally open mind about that. But if you look at the preponderance of evidence that has been accumulated by international group of highly respected evolutionary virologists, they feel, and they've written peer-reviewed papers on that, that the evidence strongly points to this being a natural occurrence of a jumping of a virus from a bat to an animal species to human. Hasn't been definitively proven, but the evidence on that is pretty strong. Having said that, we still all have to keep an open mind as to what the origin is.
Okay. You talk about weaseling through a question. We have to keep an open mind about the origin. He knows exactly what happened, and I will prove that to you. And I'll tell you, this is so critically important to understand the depth of this lie. Okay, now, was it a Chinese cover-up? There's a video. It's video number 4. Was it a Chinese cover-up? If we can play that, okay, because he seems to evolve. That is the same page. That would be the 4th video down on the same page at Citizens Free Press. And again, because what I'm going to show you, or what you're going to hear shortly, is going to put all of this together. Okay, so that would be page 3, video number 4 in that. I'm killing you, right?
The Washington Post editorial board had an interesting piece on this recently. I don't know if you read it, but about the secrecy regarding the origins. And it says the world owes those who died, 6 million people, but probably twice that or more, to be better prepared in the future. The cover-up is immense and still in place. China should now agree to a full and thorough scientific investigation that returns to Wuhan. Do you agree with that word, cover-up? An intentional distortion?
I don't know what that means. No, it isn't that I agree or disagree. I'm not sure what they're talking about. I mean, if cover-up is not allowing people to come in and look at all the data. That's not a cover-up. That's not being transparent. To me, a cover-up
like the animals
is,
being killed anyone could go into the market to investigate
again,
that.
Again, I don't want to argue. It's going to be taken out of context by others for sure, but that's my life. Welcome to it. Cover-up means you know something and you're hiding it. Mm-hmm. Not being transparent and allowing things open is a little bit of a different.
Yeah. Let's talk semantics, shall we? By the way, I watched the Dallas Buyers Club late last night, early this morning, just hours ago, really. It's an interesting movie that is about AIDS, and it really involves the actions of that guy. And I would urge people to watch it after they have read RFK's book, RFK Jr.'s book, the real Anthony Fauci. But now you have this, okay, where did it come from? And of course, he was not being at all genuine about, number one, its origins, number two, how to respond to this, including and especially masks and shutdowns. He denied being the person, or he couldn't recall being the person, to urge shutdowns during his November 23rd deposition. Yet when confronted with the evidence, he kind of said, oh, okay, well, I guess that, you know, whatever, I guess that did happen. But how deep does this hole go? And as you know, I love to dig. Well, Mike Adams had an interview. I don't know how many people saw this. I don't know when this was. It's on Brighteon. The link will be in the program description box. He had an interview with Dr. Francis Boyle. And Dr. Francis Boyle is the guy that wrote the treaty behind the bioweapons treaty. Okay, now, because this was an audio-only interview, we can just put up like the WHO snake symbol, if you will, during this, if you can. You can? Okay. Well, you'll just see a picture of Dr. Boyle and Mike Adams then. We're going to play clip one first. This talks about the U.S. bioweapons program. Understand that, yes, China is deeply involved, but you know how you hear, for example, how leaders in this country are compromised by communist China. Remember this, what I'm about to lay out here and what you're about to see shows that this is a joint effort. This is not us versus necessarily communist China as much in this particular case, as much as it is, hey, okay, you want to take over the world? We want to take over the world with the New World Order. Yours is different than ours, but we have some common goals. This goes back so far. And Dr. Boyle, of course, is the grandfather, I suppose, or I would label him of that, of the bioweapons exposure to the bioweapons program. But let's play clip number one. This is about our U.S. bioweapons program. And it's important. It's an important backstory. Here it is.
The field of synthetic biology was set up and funded by the Pentagon by its agency, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Program Agency. They set this whole thing up. And so whenever you're reading about the miracles of CRISPR, gene editing, remember the Pentagon is behind this.
You know, that's a really important point, and our audience is quite sophisticated in this realm, and they understand that throughout these past few decades, the neocons have weaponized many different technologies and have used them against civilian populations, for example, in Iraq and in many other areas around the world. It has been an abuse of this technology, at least in my opinion. This is kind of a wild card, but have you followed the accusations of biological weapons research facilities run by the United States in Ukraine?
Yes, I have. And remember, those facilities were set up by the Pentagon.
Yes.
They were not set up by, Mother Teresa and the Sisters of Charity. The Pentagon specializes in killing people. And from what I have read, all the evidence that has so far come into the public record, yes, indeed, they are consistent with offensive U.S. Biological warfare weapons and programs throughout Ukraine. Yes.
Isn't it interesting that Ukraine comes into the picture here? You know, isn't it interesting how just about everything that we see taking place at higher levels connects, whether it be FTX and Tether to the Epstein to even funding the right and the left, but specifically the left. All of this is connected. Now, I'm going to take you back in time, which I think is important that we understand how far back this goes, and to show you the effects of this, the impacts of this, and what's going to happen next. That's so important. But before I do, I want to thank you for supporting this broadcast by being a Patreon member. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you for your support. Otherwise, I couldn't do what I do. But you know, I want to thank the corporate sponsors, the very few that we have. We're very selective. I do not allow anything that I don't personally use or believe in myself. Lightstream.com is one of my good friends at Lightstream.com/Hagman. I've got to tell you, they've helped so many people of ours. They've helped my friends, family members. You know, there are hidden costs of carrying a balance on your credit card, especially if you have a high APR. I mean, you talk about accumulating interest and using up your available credit. My goodness, it's maddening. So, If high interest rates are making it difficult to make a dent in your credit card debt, it is time right now to rethink your options. My option would be to send you to lightstream.com/Hagman. A credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 7.99% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Plus, the rate's fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Believe me, they deliver an excellent product. Just for my listeners and viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LightStream, lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 7.99% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. As I always say, you will be glad you did. You'll thank me, and because I've had many people thank me about lightstream.com/Hagman. So thank you, lightstream.com/Hagman. All right. Let's continue on with Mike Adams and Dr. Francis Boyle. This, remember Amerithrax? Remember anthrax back in the early 2000s? Clip number two. It's short. Clip two. Here, Mike.
I was the first person to blow the whistle on the fact that the anthrax attacks of October 2001 came out of a U.S. biological warfare program and lab. That was November 2, 2001, at a convention for the Council for Responsible Genetics held at Harvard Divinity School. And as I was walking into the Div School there was a Fox News camera there who interviewed me, and I said, well, sure, this This was super weapons grade anthrax that could only have come out of a U.S. biological warfare weapons program and lab. And I have a list of them all back in my office. Back in those days, they were a matter of public record if you look for them. And then I went in at the conference. I was leading a workshop on the biowarfare, and I said the same thing. And Professor John King, founder of Council for Responsible Genetics, agreed with me. Then I came back here in my office. I gave an interview to Pacifica Radio Network to the same effect. And then later that week, I was on the BBC saying that clearly this is an offensive biological warfare weapon that came out of a U.S. Program and lab. And then an order was given, and I was never interviewed again by any Western news media source on biological weapons, biological warfare. That then goes back to, I would say, the first week of November 2001. So, of course, yes, there's massive censorship, disinformation, everything you can imagine out there, sure.
So why am I talking about anthrax back in 01 now? There's a reason for it, okay? Think about it this way. If you are a police officer, at least the old type, not the new tatted robot kind of police officers, but if you were working a certain area, you knew you knew the bad guys. You knew the scoop. You knew their MO, okay? Well, how they did things. You saw Fauci in denying everything, can't recall. He's being deposed. You just heard Dr. Francis Boyle talk about, of course, the U.S. bioweapons program and anthrax and the U.S. role in anthrax. You heard Fauci say, well, didn't really decide. Who knows? Could have come from China, okay? It could have been, it could have been a lab leak as opposed to natural. Dr. Francis Boyle knows, all right, knows, because he's like that cop that's been in that area for a long time and knows the players, knows their MO. But this is also a Pentagon thing. This is much bigger, and it's global. It involves the WHO as well. I want to, speaking of the WHO, this is extremely important because the interview was about the World Health Organization, that specific proclamation of the World Health Organization that signing on the treaty, the pandemic treaty. What's that all about? Well, Dr. Boyle addresses that. Go to clip 3 anytime.
Here Executive order on advancing biotechnology, which President Biden himself signed in the White House last September. And I won't go through all of it here. The critical language comes at the very end. It's sort of snuck in there. And let me quote for you, Mike, this language, Roman numeral 7, develop and work to promote and implement resources bilaterally and multilaterally to facilitate appropriate oversight for life scientists, dual use research of concern, and research involving potentially pandemic and other high consequence pathogens and manufacturing related to research and development globally. Now, Mike, let me break that down for you. All right. So develop work to promote and implement dual research of concern. Dual research of concern. They are admitting, Mike, that Biden is authorizing and approving in a presidential executive order biological warfare weapons. Dual research means it's offensive and defensive at the same time. And right. To have an effective biological warfare weapon, first you need the weapon, and then you need an alleged vaccine or antidote to protect your own people from blowback. So whenever you see dual research of concern, that's even a term of art adopted by the United States government, you know they are going to develop biological warfare weapons, again, using DNA, genetic engineering, synthetic biology, gene editing, CRISPR-Cas9, et cetera. Right. That's exactly what they're doing here, Mike. And then notice this. And research involving potentially pandemic and other high consequence pathogens. So they admit they are doing dual use research involving pandemic and high consequence pathogens. They admit that. That's what they're doing. This is where COVID-19 comes from, Mike. As I've said before, it is an offensive biological warfare weapon with gain of function properties that was developed by the University of North Carolina Biosafety Level Lab 3 in conjunction with the Wuhan Biosafety Level Lab 4 lab, which is China's Fort Detrick. And I should point out, if you read that UNC BSL-3 contract, not only is the Chinese bat queen on there from Wuhan BSL-4, but Fort Detrick, our own Fort Detrick, is involved. So they are going to do more of this, Mike. We have to understand how serious they are. Not stopping. They are doubling down. They are tripling down. And we can then expect more pandemics like COVID-19, Mike. If you're reading the news, watching the news media, reading the news media, they're all saying, well, another pandemic is coming. Right. It's coming as a result of their programs. That's exactly right. That's how they know another pandemic is coming, Mike.
All right. Yep. Pause it right there. Good. Now, the reason I started with Scary Poppins, obviously the DHS, the deep state wanted this mouthpiece in there to game all of us, to gaslight all of us. That was her job. It's continuing, just in a different form. The fact of the matter is, going back to anthrax back in 2001, this is all bioweaponry. This involves Ukraine. And by the way, this involves Hunter Biden's laptop. Again, the evidence is on Biden's laptop. This also involves the fact that this digital currency is necessary to control us, because they need to control our speech, just like Scary Poppins. They need to censor us from getting people like Dr. Boyle out. They need to censor Mike Adams. They look what they've done to Alex Jones. All of this is connected. So you've got Missouri and Louisiana attorneys general grilling Fox, Fauci, that garden gnome, about SARS-CoV-2. And of course, I will give them the benefit of the doubt, trying to get to the bottom of its origins and his response, the government's deep state response to COVID, and the fact that this is a control mechanism. Now, what's important here, because the WHO, U.S., you know, Joey Two Scoops signed on to the WHO pandemic treaty. But does it have teeth here in this U.S., in the U.S.? Does it have teeth? If we can show the fact check page, did I put that in here? Yes, the page. If we can show this page, WHO has no authority to dictate U.S. health policy. If you want to talk about gaslighting America, if you go to factcheck.org, WHO has no authority to dictate U.S. health policy. And you read through this, the weasel words in this are just incredible. Because maybe not directly, maybe, you know, the head of WHO or the UN can't tell the American people what to do, what not to do. However, listen to what Dr. Boyle's got to say next. And this is starting at about 14 and a half minutes into this interview, about how things will progress with respect to the WHO pandemic U.S. Health Policy and Treaty. Here it is.
Where this current administration, much like previous administrations, by the way, is actively seeking to overrule or violate laws prohibiting this research, and they are admitting they're engaging in dual-use research, which is the development of biological weapons. And out of that, as you're saying, you believe we will have more pandemics. Is that from accidental release, deliberate deployment, enemies getting their hands on it, or what kinds of mechanisms do you think would result?
Well, it'd be both, Mike. Well, all three. But in the case of the anthrax attacks, that was super weapons grade anthrax that came out of Fort Detrick, and that was done deliberately in order to ram through the USA Patriot Act through Congress that sets up an American police state, and also to provoke and justify war against Iraq. In the other cases, I believe the Wuhan BSL-4 COVID-19 was a leak. From all the evidence I've seen so far, it was a leak. All these BSL-3s and BSL-4s leak, every one of them, if you study the history here. That is why in the documentary film Anthrax War by Cohn and Nadler, as far back as 2009, which you can find online, I served a consultant to them. And at the very end, I say, this is a catastrophe waiting to happen, these BSL-3s and BSL-4s. And then again in 2015, I gave a very lengthy interview. You can find it in my new book, Resisting Medical Tyranny, where I said this is all a biocatastrophe waiting to happen. It was a statistical certainty as I saw it as you know, even before 2009.
All right. I apologize because there was a part in there, and this is out of order, but there's a part in there that says, look, the U.S. Department of Justice right now is a captured operation, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here. But the fact is they can, WHO, through the UN, through NIH, or through the CDC, NIH, NIAID can tell us what to do. And when people attempt to litigate, you know, bodily autonomy, like we've seen, well, again, being a captured operation, it doesn't go well for the people. Talk about the police officers and firemen who were laid or who were fired for not taking the jab. They can enforce this policy in the United States, this globalist policy in the United States through the captured judiciary. And that is what is taking place, what has taken place. They've laid out the template, and that's what I was getting, I was going for. Now, start at clip 5, if you don't mind. This is about monkeypox. Hey, more is coming. This is a short clip, same interview, clip number 5.
The military-industrial complex, the CIA, they've used these weapons against us, the American people. We have to understand there is a stockpile of that super weapons-grade anthrax that has been called Amerithrax still out there. My best estimate is at Dugway Proving Ground right now. They'll use it again against us if they decide it's necessary. Let's look at monkeypox that just came out. That clearly was a biological warfare weapon that came out of a lab. It had 30 mutations over and above the wild type monkeypox in Africa. And there it was. It was released all over the world. So that was done. Why? I think it was done to scaremonger states of the world into adopting the World Health Organization regulation amendments that were then under consideration in Geneva, to be followed up by this World Health Organization treaty. So, you know, whenever it suits the interests of, the deep state, call them what you want, they'll use biological warfare weapons, even against our own people, as they have done before.
All right. You heard that. One more clip from this interview. The entire interview will be posted at AgmaReport.com. I would urge you to watch it or listen to the entire interview. Very, very informative, very interesting. This is clip 6 in the program notes. And this is important because this lays out the upcoming deaths from the injecticide. Here it is.
And by the way, Mike, yes. I just, want to deal with casualties here. I helped defend Captain Dr. Yolanda Hewitt Vaughn, who refused to give the experimental medical vaccines for the biological warfare weapons, anthrax and botulin in Gulf War One. In violation of the Nuremberg Code on Medical Experimentation. To make a long story short, those Frankenshots that she opposed, starting, I think it was December of 1990, I came to her pro bono defense in February 1991 through the court martial and et cetera. But of 500,000 U.S. military personnel given those two Frankenshots, a minimum of 11,000 were murdered, as Dr. Hewitt Vaughn and I regretfully figured was going to happen.
Right, and that doesn't count the injured and maimed.
100,000 were disabled.
There we go.
That's 20%. And those figures are lowball figures because the Pentagon still lies about the Gulf War sickness, which it is.
Yes,
it's the Gulf War sickness. I still hear today from veterans suffering from the Gulf War sickness and asking me for my advice where they can go and get proper treatment because they can't get it from the VA. The VA have been told to tell them, well, it's all in your head, and they just can't get proper medical treatment there. So, right. Mike, that just gives you an idea of the floor of death and disability we're facing here with this new round of COVID Frankenshots. That's a floor, a minimum estimate.
Well, let me add to that.
Realistic estimate, it is going to be far superior to that. And certainly, within the next year to two, we're going to be seeing a humanitarian catastrophe here as a result of these COVID Frankenshots.
So one of my previous guests, I'm sure you're familiar with him, Mr. Ed Dowd.
Ed Dowd was on a number of different programs. I just want to give you some stats, all right? Consider this. 80.06% of the U.S. population has been jabbed. And perhaps boosted some 267,479 people have received these injections. 58%, by the way, of COVID deaths today, or COVID related deaths are people that have been injected with this so-called vaccine. This, according to the Washington Post on November 23rd, by Cynthia Cox, Kaiser Family Foundation. Now, in September 2021, 23% of the population had received one injection. February 2022, 42%, and at present, 58%. So that leaves 42% unaffected. Now, August 31st, 2022, the FDA authorized Pfizer Moderna to roll out their bivalent booster. Okay, this flew by ACIP, this governing body that regulates all of this. What is not being talked about anywhere the VAERS report, which is seriously underrated. In that short period of time, I mentioned this yesterday, from August 31st to October 23rd, 2022, some 14.4 million received this bivalent booster. Another 8.2 million, by the way, the 14.4 million bivalent booster, that was Pfizer BioNTech. Another 8.2 million received it from Moderna. Now, out of that small subsection, 5,542 adverse events were reported to VAERS. 4.5% were serious, including but not limited to death. So just understand this. The worst is yet to come. So to get back to Scary Poppins, digital banking, the New York Fed launching this digital currency, and Fauci being grilled right now. What? How is this all connected? Look, they in monkeypox. You heard Dr. Boyle talk about monkeypox. They have got to scare the population enough. The sudden adult death syndrome, like SIDS, being inexplicable, and of course the clots and such. All of this, they need to censor all of this from the public arena. They need to censor you, this platform, your social media posts. They need to cancel all of this out and tell you everything is safe and effective. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. However, very quickly, people are understanding they're coming, just like the vote in Arizona, those pieces of doo-doo down there in Maricopa County. You know, that uniparty down there in Maricopa County certifying the election. Okay. One in adjacent county saying, well, I'm doing this under duress. I was threatened with arrest if I didn't certify it. I don't even know what the heck that's about. But here's the bottom line. This is all about control. You know this and I know this. But the good news is we do have people fighting back. Page 5, this is a compilation in China. If they can do this in China, we can do this here. Very quickly, this compilation, Chinese people fighting back in the streets. Watch this. Oh, okay. These are people who are, what's that? Okay. These are people who are fighting back. And just go over me when you can. Understand that the Chinese are beginning to wake up and understand that Xi Jinping, and of course, every other world leader is involved in this killing off. Nothing has to do with COVID. Nothing has to do with our safety. This is all about control, from Scary Poppins to the digital banking to Fauci. All of this, they're all involved in this, and they are all attempting to kill us. We don't have to play that. Folks, you can go to HagmanReport.com and you can watch this. You can watch people in the streets of Shanghai, unheard of, in the streets of various provinces in China, rising up. There it is on your screen. You don't see this normally in China. This tells you something. And this goes back to my opening statement. And I really want to open with this all of the time. Again, echoing the words of at Real 6 Million, we're the ones you couldn't teach to hate their ancestors. We are the ones you couldn't teach to hate themselves. We're the ones you couldn't teach to work against the interests of our children. We are the ones you couldn't teach to celebrate faggotry and degeneracy, and we're the ones who are going to teach you a lesson. You can count on it. Understand this. This is all related. And I didn't even get to the relation to Tether, FTX on steroids, and the Revolver.news article. Hopefully yesterday you read that and you soaked that in there. There's so much to that, so much to the fact that America is a captured operation, and there are individuals involved in things like this, overlapping into the intelligence community, or the intelligence community, which is no friend of the United States Patriot. coming after all of us. And by the way, they're coming after our guns. They're coming after our weapons. They're coming after us to kill us. But they need to disarm us first. Folks, thank you. I hope that made sense. It was a lot of information. It's kind of all tied together. If it seems like a blur, don't worry, you're not alone. All right. Thank you so much for your belief and your support in this platform. May God bless you, and may God save the United States of America.